Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's out here at the Milwaukee Broad House. Shorewood, right here on Oakland Avenue. Come on out, take their shuttles to and from the game. They start 2 hours before the game. Takes you all the way up to, what, the second inning is when they stop running. So plenty of time for you still to get out here. First pitch, what, 6:40 today. Tommy Wirtz is already out here, the big old hunk of love. The huggable one, as he called himself, very huggable. Coming on here, meet Tommy Wirtz. He's out here 5 to 6:30, and he'll be doing the leadoff show powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Mitch Thunder Nellis, he'll be out here coming up in about 20 minutes or so. I believe that's what Charlie told me, right? You said around 4:40 or so for Thunder?
That's kind of what we were expecting. Yeah.
Yep. So Thunder will be out here around 4:40. He'll come hang out with us for the last segment. Right now, efforting Ryan Horvath of BetMGM tonight. He's scheduled to join us here. Now, Ryan Horvath, I really can't wait to get this dude on because this dude here has been obviously a Packers fan his whole life, right? But he grew up in Illinois, so it's a weird deal that you would be a Packer fan. Used to be here on the station doing mornings with Bart Winkler back in the day and so forth. But this guy here, for the last, I was doing my Curtin Long podcast. I was doing it with him, with Ryan Horvath, and this dude was always about last 2 or 3 years. It started with Justin Fields, and now we're here with Caleb Williams. It's been about, man, this is going to be the year that you're going to want to bet the Bears. The Bears are going to turn it around this year. Here comes the Bears offense this year. And finally, the last time I talked to Ryan Horvath, the last time we had him on, I was like, dude, are you a closet Bears fan? Like, let's be honest. Let's have this conversation. Like, are you kind of a closet Bears fan, and you've been, you know, oh, I'm Packers. But kind of like in the back of you, because maybe your boys are Bears fans and all that stuff, maybe you're kind of like more pro-Bears than what everybody realizes, right? So like when Rami McElroy fills in for me here on The Fan, you know that dude's a Bears fan. Charlie, who produces for me, Charlie Usen, Chicago Charlie, you know that dude's a Bears fan. I question about Ryan Horvath. Now, Horvath is a guy, when he comes on here, because he's been pro Bears offseason. This is going to be the beer the Bears take off. Bet the Bears. Okay, so now we're going to see where Ryan Horvath is on now on his press-ish Chicago Bears, right? He joins us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, here on Wisconsin Sports Daily with yours truly, C. Sparky Fiverr, out here at the Milwaukee Broad House in Shorewood. Ryan Horvath, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, except for I don't know what's going on with my Wi-Fi. I've been trying to sign on so everybody could see my pretty face on the computer, and it wouldn't work. So luckily, Charlie gave me a call. I'm ready to go. I heard the slander.
That's not slander. It's not slander. No. You have been pro-Bears every offseason for like the last 4 years, Horvath. Every offseason. And every offseason, I tell you, no chance, not happening. And here we are again this year. You were pro-Bears again. Here we go. It's going to be their year. Well, we're 2 weeks in. They just gave up 52. So are you willing to come sliding down the other side of that hill again?
They don't look very good right now. Week one, it started off pretty good. All the scripted stuff looked good. And then in the second half, they completely fell apart. And I blame Caleb Williams for that loss because there were throws to be made. Ben Johnson did a pretty solid job scheming guys wide open. Caleb, just for whatever reason, couldn't make the throws. And then in the second half, week one, Ben Johnson got circles coached around him, but he was going against Kevin O'Connell, in my opinion, a top three head coach, the reigning coach of the year. So just an epic collapse from the Bears. And then week two, terrible spot, man, because you could see Detroit really wanted to lay it on them. And it makes sense. I think Green Bay is going to want to do the same thing because Ben Johnson, usually you don't see a head coach get his first job and have the offseason that he did where he was running his mouth a lot, man. He's a cocky guy. And, you know, now everybody saved those press clippings and highlighted all of his quotes. So I won't be surprised if Green Bay tries to put it on him, you know, if Detroit tries to put on him again. So it looks like it's going to take Ben Johnson some time. I still do like the hire. I think it's going to take him some time just because that defense is bad right now, and they're all beat up in the secondary. So Yeah, it looks like I'm a big dummy for picking them to win 9 games. I didn't think they were going to win the NFC North this year, but I thought that they could at least be a wild card team and realize, hey, we got our guy at the quarterback position. But I don't know, man. All my buddies that are Bears fans, it's so funny, Sparky, because last year before the Jacksonville game, I think they were like 4-2, and they beat up on Jacksonville, and Caleb threw for like 262 yards and 3 touchdowns. And all my friends are like, first ballot Hall of Famer, the next Mahomes, we finally got it right. On Sunday, I got a text message from my cousin, and he goes, I can't believe it. The Bears not only got it wrong, but they got the worst guy in the draft. And I laughed because I thought about it, right? And J.J. McCarthy beats Caleb Williams 2 weeks ago. Bo Nix, starting quarterback for a playoff team last year, although I don't think he's very good either. Jaden Daniels, he's already played in an NFC Championship game. He's the reigning rookie of the year. He looks like the real deal. Drake May, coming off finally, he gets a win for the Patriots. Maybe Caleb is the worst of them all, which is Michael Penix has looked pretty good. So maybe Caleb ends up being the worst of them all, but we'll see. Time will tell. I do like the Bears to win this week against Dallas. I think there's going to be like 70 points scored in that game. Both defenses are terrible. They go back home to Soldier Field. I think Ben Johnson gets his first win, but I think a good year for them, man, is maybe a 7-win, 8-win season and just thinking or figuring out if Caleb is the guy or not.
I'll tell you this much. If Dallas throws 50 on them, what then? What then do they do? Because they extended Ryan Poles for no good reason. They should have waited till he at least had a year to where they were competent and looked good. They extended him based on an offseason, Ryan. That is a history of that organization. They got good offseasons, and then they suck in the regular season.
Yeah, exactly, man. And that's why losing organizations, they stay losers, right? I mean, there's a reason. And that's the Bears in a nutshell right now. It's been a mess. I mean, Ryan Pace was there. He drafts Mitchell Trubisky over not only Pat Mahomes, but Deshaun Watson. And I know it didn't work out for Watson, but he had a good 4 or 5 years where he looked like one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Trubisky's a career backup. And then you hire this guy. You know, you draft Justin Fields. And Justin Fields, week one with the Jets, was pretty good. Week two, now he gets concussed and gets knocked out. That's his issue. He can't stay healthy. But they never gave him a fair shake. He was playing behind the worst offensive line in the league, with a terrible play caller, a bad defense. The Bears have just been a mess, and you thought maybe they finally got it right. Because I did like the coaching hires they made. I like Ben Johnson, I think. I like Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator, not so much a head coach. You bring in Eric Bieniemy to coach the running backs, and Randall L. to coach the receivers. But yet still, they look terrible. And then you see, like, the highlights on social media or the clips of Caleb Williams down 3 scores, 4 scores, smiling on the sidelines. Imagine if that was Green Bay and that was Brett Favre back in the day, or Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Packers are losing and he's smiling on the sidelines. We got mad enough when he was moping on the sidelines, or he was angry because he wanted to win so bad. Caleb Williams is having a good old time on the sideline, and the opposing team just hung 50 on him.
I'm telling you, listen, let's clear this up. I've talked about this in the past. These dudes aren't at the same level as fans, man. I'm sorry, I hate to break it to everybody. They're just not. Major League Baseball players, specifically, play every day. They cannot be on a roller coaster of emotions like fans every single day. The NBA plays 82 games, same thing. Can't be on the roller coaster of emotions. And even, I'm not saying every football player doesn't care as much of a fan, but there are a lot of guys that it's a job. I'm getting paid. I'm going to cash my check. It's going to be okay. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. We'll get better. We'll figure it out for next week. It's not end of the world stuff, where some fans are like not talking to their family for the rest of the day if they lose, are all pissed off on social media, screaming and yelling, are in a bad mood all week at work because their favorite football team lost. Like, a majority of these players do not hold on to losses like us, like we do. Just doesn't happen.
No, they don't. And you know what always makes me laugh, man, is, and that's why I get a kick out of, like, you know, when people want these guys to, like, stick up for the team, or people were mad at Micah Parsons a couple of years ago because he wasn't wearing Cowboys gear. He had an Eagles hat on or something like that. And it's like, I laugh in college football when all these kids, they go to like 4 different schools in 4 years, but then there they are at Ohio State, Michigan, and they're fighting on the 50-yard line for pride and for team pride. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is your third college. You didn't want to go to Ohio State growing up. You're just fighting just to fight. I think it's funny. But, hey, really quick point on the Bears. So I think this is a great thing for the Green Bay Packers because they look like legit Super Bowl contenders. They should be the favorites right now in the NFC, especially with all these injuries piling up on the Niners.
Philly!
I'll get to the, Well, here's the thing, man. I don't think Philly's as good this year. In fact, I think Philly loses this week to the Rams. If you look at Philly on the offensive side of the ball, they're averaging almost 2 yards less per play, and the defense has given up almost 2 yards more per play.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Quinyon Mitchell's awesome, but the other side of that secondary of that pass defense, you could.
What happened to Cooper DeJean? What happened
well,
to him?
He's great. They're playing him as a nickel and more as like a safety and like a linebacker. He's like the Kyle Hamilton, so he's really good. But they're playing that other kid at corner, and he's a liability right now. So I think Green Bay could get Philly this year. You want home field advantage. You want them at Lambeau, obviously. I know we always say that it doesn't matter, but this year I think it
doesn't
will.
Matter.
With Micah Parsons and that defense, I think it will matter. But the good thing is, so my buddies, like our producer of the show, Brandon, he's like, man, whatever you say when NFL football, like you're the best at predicting things. Last year I told everybody the Niners weren't going to make the playoffs, that the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl. He's like, the only thing you're always wrong on, and it's making me wonder if you're just jinxing us, is the Bears. And maybe that is what I'm doing, because every year I pick the Bears to be relevant, and every year somehow they get even worse. I'm not worried about the Vikings with all their injuries. I'm not worried about Detroit, even though they hung 50 on the Bears. I think that says more about the Bears' defense. Here's how you know Dan Campbell ain't it. That quote, week one, I was relieved when I found out the Green Bay Packers traded Kenny Clark for Micah Parsons, top five edge rusher in the prime of his career. Look at that Green Bay defense right now. The reason I love the Micah Parsons trade, and I'm sure you've said this on the show or other smart people have, is it allows all these first-round picks to just go out and be themselves. Now Rashawn Gary could go out there and be Rashawn Gary. I think he's going to have a double-digit sack season. If I had to play a defensive player of the year ticket, I would take Rashawn Gary over Micah Parsons. He's playing.
Oh, stop. Oh, get out of here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, because Parsons is going to see a ton of double teams, a ton of chips. You have to focus so much on him, but that's going to open up that other side for Rashawn Gary. He better have 12 sacks this year. He's always really good against the run. Van Ness is finally going to look like a first-round pick. How about Wyatt? So that's what I like about you bringing a guy like Parsons. That makes people in that locker room believe that they're Super Bowl contenders, and also it frees everybody else up. Also, our biggest worry, Spark, coming into the year was the secondary. You know how you fix a leaky secondary? You get the best pass rusher. Now quarterbacks only have 2 seconds in the pocket to make that split decision. And I still think Green Bay, if they want, could go out and get a corner, could add some offensive line help. I know it's not the Major League Baseball trade deadline, but players will be available. So I feel really good about Green Bay, better than I thought, because the Bears look like a project. The Vikings look like a project. And I'm not there with Detroit, man. They're going to win 10 games at the most this year. So it's Green Bay's division, luckily, because the Bears are so bad and stupid.
Who is Bill Zimmerman?
Bill Zimmerman is the executive producer of You Better You Bet, and I think he does a good job covering the Bears on his podcast. I don't know the name of it because I'm not a Bears fan, contrary to what you're telling people, Spark. I do not like the team.
Gridiron or
yes.
Something like that? Windy City Gridiron.
Yes.
Yeah, you should pray for him, boy. I can't even imagine. First of all, let me read you this tweet that he sent out. I read this yesterday. This was after Sunday's game. Ryan Poles will have a 28.3% winning percentage. That's 4.8 wins per season. He was extended. If the ownership of this franchise continues to accept mediocrity from its top positions at Hallis Hall, the Bears will continue to flounder. You are so warped in the brain as a Bears fan that you think 4 wins a season is mediocre when they play 17, Ryan.
Well,
how is that mediocre? That is awful.
I didn't hear one person, even the biggest Bear fans and the people that love this offseason, the people that were, you know, predicting them to win the NFC North or to at least be a playoff team, none of them understood the move of extending.
Nope, I got somebody. And Charlie, we gotta go back and find it. David Haw of The Score, Mullion Haw. He was on with us that afternoon when that news came out, or just after that news came out. And I was like, extended him for what exactly? And he went on this whole thing defending why they extended him and why it made sense for the Bears. I thought it was dumb at that point. I still think it's dumb.
I worry a little bit, and I love David, but I feel like some guys in Chicago, especially if it comes to the Bears or the Chicago Cubs, want to say all the right things because they don't want to be. So now, I'm not going to throw a name out there, but it's a credible reporter in Chicago, and I heard that he was at, obviously, training camp, OTAs. He watched every single Caleb Williams drop back this summer, and he wrote about how Caleb just couldn't hit a target, man, right? Like, we saw the social media video where he throws his arms up in the air like he's a fifth grader because he's so irritated that he's not accurate. And it's so weird because that was not his issue at Oklahoma or USC. His issue was, the thing I thought they had to correct was, he holds on to the ball way too long. He tries to make those backyard playground-style plays, and you can't do that in the National Football League with 6'3 edge rushers trying to chase you down that run 4.3, 4.4s. But I don't know where this accuracy stuff came from, man. Guys are wide open. He can't make the throws. But I guess this has been going on since June. And I heard a couple people in the Bears on the Bears PR team went up to this reporter and were like, "Hey, what's up with all these articles about Caleb?" And he's like, "Just reporting on what I'm observing, right? Like, he isn't very accurate right now." And I guess they were all bent out of shape about it, man. Like, worried, why is this coming out, or why are you reporting on Caleb? So this has been a problem all summer long. And they're worried right now in Chicago. Yeah, they're worried right now in Chicago. And the Bears do not want you reporting about it. And it makes sense, but that's Bush League. That's Little League stuff right there.
BetMGM tonight's Ryan Horvath joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, part by the Potawatomi Sportsbook at the Milwaukee Broad House, Shorewood. Come on out, hang out with us right here on Oakland Avenue. They got Brewer shuttles to and from the game. 2 hours before the game, they start running all the way up to the second inning of the game, Brewers and Angels tonight. And then they take you right back here to the Milwaukee Broad House in Shorewood, all the way to the lots are cleared. So make sure to hop on those Brewer shuttles to and from the game out here at Milwaukee Broad House. Thanks to Sun Cruiser Vodka Iced Tea for having us out here. Ryan, I want to get your thoughts on one other thing here, and that is the world of college football as we look at it right now. Do you think there are a couple of teams that have separated themselves? Because as much as everybody wanted to hop on the Arch Manning Texas bandwagon, at this point I think he was completely overhyped.
Man, if he had a different last name, if his last name wasn't Manning, I don't know that he could beat the starting quarterback right now at Rice. 10 straight incompletions, yep. Booed off the field by his own fans.
Deservedly so.
There's a reason why, man, Quinn Ewers was playing last year, right? Like when Paul Feinbaum and all these SEC guys were calling for Arch, there's a reason why Steve Sarkisian was like, "Nope, Quinn Ewers is the guy."
Yeah, but the thing is with Feinbaum, like, was Feinbaum getting fed this from Arch Manning himself? Not Arch Manning, from the Mannings themselves trying to get Feinbaum to promote, you know, Arch Manning. I bet you there was some of that going on as well.
Oh, absolutely, man. But eventually we were all going to figure out that the kid can't play. He can't make the throws. So I'm not there with Texas. The teams I like, so Penn State has not looked very good, but they haven't played anybody. They're playing like Villanova and all these FCS schools. Big game coming up for them next week. They get Oregon. They also get Ohio State. They were my pick to win it all just because they bring everybody back. I'm not a big James Franklin guy, but last year I wasn't a big Ryan Day guy. But I like the hires they made with Chip Kelly. Jim Knowles was calling the defense. Well, now Jim Knowles left Ohio State. He's the defensive coordinator at Penn State. I really like Andy Kotelnicki, the play caller. Drew Aller, it's a big year for him if he wants to be a first-round pick. They brought back both starting running backs. So I still like them, but I've been more impressed, Spark, with Ohio State. With the win over Texas, the defenses look really good. I thought the defense would take a step back because Matt Patricia is the defensive coordinator. Turns out, he's really good at that job. He's just not an NFL head coach. The Julian Sayin kid has got better every week. He's a five-star freshman. And their wide receivers are just so loaded. You know, Jeremiah Smith is going to be a top-10 pick. Carnell Tate is going to be a first-round pick. That's wide receiver U. So I like Ohio State, and I think people are sleeping on Oregon. They have a top-5 offense right now. They're scoring 70 against everybody. And I just think Dan Lanning's a great coach. And eventually, he is going to win a national title. I bet it today because I feel like that's the team nobody's talking about is Oregon. I know they lost a lot, but every year they bring in a lot through the portal. and they recruit nothing but five stars. And again, Dan Lanning's a great coach, and I like the schedule. So those are the two Big Ten teams I like. And then in the SEC, I like Georgia. I was more impressed with Tennessee than I thought I would be. They took them down to the wire. They almost won that game. But I think Georgia really grew up in that game, especially their quarterback, Gunnar Stockton, who really, like, this is his freshman year. And he made that great throw to beat Tennessee. So I really like them. And I feel like Kirby's going to be extra motivated because he hasn't won it in a while. And then in the Big 12, I'm going back to my Utah Utes. I bet them to make the college football playoff. I bet them to win the Big 12. Even last year, they only won five games because they had a ton of injuries, Spark, but they had a top 20 defense. This year, they have one of the better defenses in the country, and they have a legit Heisman candidate at the quarterback position. His name's Devin Dampier. I really like them this weekend against Texas Tech. Whoever wins that game, I think, wins the Big 12. But if I had to make a pick today, I think the best value is on Oregon. Nobody's talking about them for some reason, and they're just beating the heck out of teams right now. And their quarterback, Dante Moore, looks like a future NFL pro.
All right, we'll find out how this all plays out. Ryan Horvath, thank you so much for coming out, man. Truly appreciate it, and we will talk to you, I'm sure, throughout the rest of the season.
I'm surprised you didn't ask me about your Colts, who I love, by the way. I think they win
suck.
The AFC South, and Danny Dimes looks like
no,
they're... You just beat the Broncos!
They suck.
Indiana Jones.
I don't care who they beat.
Right,
this isn't real, Horvath. Don't buy into this crap. Daniel Jones is not real. This isn't real. It's going to implode, and then we'll be back to Anthony Richardson again, who you loved coming out of college.
So, no way. Danny Dimes.
Mark my words. We'll be stuck with Richardson again. This will never last. Either he'll get hurt, and that'll end it, or he'll turn back into Daniel Jones again. But this isn't going to last a full season. No chance.
Oh, it will. It will. Mr. Negative. They'll beat the Titans this week. Yeah. They'll start 3-0. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Take care. There he is, Ryan Horvath. Again, BetMGM tonight on the BetMGM Radio Network. Joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.